This video is brought to you in partnership with Gaia.com, creating thought-provoking documentaries and programs.
The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nag Hammadi Texts.
In 1945, it's an intriguing date, of course, because that's the end of the Second World War. We're moving into a new era following the Second World War. The Gnostic texts are found in Upper Egypt. Almost exactly the same time, the Dead Sea Scrolls are found in Israel as well.
The Qumran Caves, located in the Judean desert on the northern shore of the Dead Sea. Here, ancient scrolls were hidden inside a cave and left undisturbed for more than 1,000 years. In 1947, a local shepherd was throwing rocks into a cave nearby when he heard the sound of pots shattering and decided to investigate. What he uncovered was a treasure trove of ancient scriptures written on parchment and papyrus and revealing some of the most important religious texts ever discovered.
The Dead Sea Scrolls are the books written by Jewish mystics who called themselves the Essenes. These were individuals who claimed they were living with angels and had received teachings about human transformation into celestial beings. Their texts were stashed away when Rome invaded Palestine in 70 AD, hidden away in caves, and they were discovered surreptitiously in 1947 and caused a worldwide sensation upon their discovery. They are essentially Gnostic in nature because the Essenes themselves were Gnostics. They were interested in self-realization and the perfection of the human body, the transformation of the body into a celestial form or a light body form. The Dead Sea Scrolls are not labeled Gnostic texts as are the Nag Hammadi Library, but the core of them, the heart of them, is Gnostic in nature. When we read the Dead Sea Scrolls, it becomes very clear that the Essenes, these Jewish mystics, Gnostic mystics, were having close encounters of the first, second, third, and fourth kind. They said they were seeing angels. They were seeing things in the sky. Portals were opening in the sky. But beyond that, they also had close encounters of the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth kind. The close encounter of the eighth kind is human transformation into a celestial being. The Dead Sea Scrolls clearly describes humans being taken, possibly abducted in a modern conversation, but they didn't think of it as abduction then. They're taken into the celestial realms and transformed into an extraterrestrial or celestial being by angels who themselves were extraterrestrials. So the Dead Sea Scrolls are actually a first moment of disclosure, is what they are. This is very important because when they were discovered in 1947, there was a parallel event, the Roswell crash, when for the first time in modern history, following shortly on Kenneth Arnold's sighting of a squadron of flying discs, that mass consciousness began to think about the possibility of extraterrestrial visitors vis-a-vis the Roswell crash. So it's very powerful confluence there, or synchronicity, that the Dead Sea Scrolls come out of the ground at the very same time that a celestial disc crashes into the ground in Roswell, and now we have this mixture happening. It's like, okay, how do these two things relate? Is it possible that some of the entities that are described in the Gnostic text, the Archons, for example, match up with the entities, the alleged entities that were found in the crashed disc at Roswell? When the Essenes are talking about dealing with extraterrestrial beings, are these angels or are these somehow some other kind of celestial or extraterrestrial races? The Essenes, when they wrote their Dead Sea Scrolls, knew that this information was very powerful for humanity. They were hunted by Rome. They represented a direct threat to the power structure of that time. When the Dead Sea Scrolls come out of the ground in 1947, they too represent a direct threat to the existing power structures of the world, the U.S. government and the religious structures that developed around Christianity. Because what they drew into question severely was, is this the origins of Christianity? Was Jesus in a scene? John the Baptist was. John the Baptist initiated Jesus, attuned him in the baptism. Was he connecting him somehow to an extraterrestrial race? Suddenly Christianity starts to sound like it's an alien religion, or a religion that was brought to Earth or promoted by extraterrestrial beings. That represents a direct threat to the powers that be. And this is one of the reasons why the Dead Sea Scrolls were covered up for as many as 3 or 4 decades. Initial reports came out about what was contained in the scrolls, but the scholars withheld vast amounts of it for decades. And I believe the reason why is because of its constant references to extraterrestrial beings, portals, celestial realms, celestial cities, all kinds of otherworldly entities that are described in the Dead Sea Scrolls and how they were actually living with and teaching the Essenes.
Just 2 years prior to the discovery of the Qumran caves in Israel, the Nag Hammadi texts, otherwise known as the Gnostic Gospels, were discovered in Egypt in 1945. These documents date back to the 3rd century BCE and include alternative views of early Christian doctrine, some of them seemingly blasphemous and heretical to modern followers of monotheistic religions.
Nag Hammadi is a small village along the Nile River in Egypt. And a young boy was tasked by his mother to find kindling, which was in very short supply because there are very few trees. There's no forests that grow along the Nile River in that part of Egypt. Being very resourceful, he went to what he knew were old grave sites and old tombs. And he found papyrus books that were bound. These are the Gnostic texts. And it wasn't until someone recognized, a neighbor recognized what it was that he had, that the Department of Antiquities in Cairo became aware, and of course they moved very quickly to preserve the remaining documents. So the Nag Hammadi Library, it is the most complete record of the Old Testament. And the reason it's so controversial is because it contains many of the books that have not been seen since the church edited them in the 4th century.
Now, I don't want to get mystical or spooky, but it's as though something is at work to not allow us to be blinded and silenced. Something is at work to allow these ancient ideas to come back into the world. And Gnosticism has indeed come back into the world. I'll try to reconstruct the situation. In the early years of Christianity, really, you know, from sort of 30 AD onwards through to about 400 AD. There are actually many different kinds of Christians, many different sects that regard themselves as Christians, as followers of Christ, but they have very different views. Amongst those early Christian sects were a group that called themselves Gnostics. They believed that there is a divine spark in humanity. The Gnostic mission was to liberate that divine spark, to provide us with the saving knowledge, to lead us to the revelation that would help us to understand the true nature of things. Not the illusory nature that's been created to hoodwink all of us, but the real, true nature of things.
What is life for Elon Musk?
Now you can see a video game that's photorealistic, almost photorealistic, and millions of people playing simultaneously, and you see where things are going with virtual reality. If you extrapolate that out into the future with any rate of progress at all, then eventually those games will be indistinguishable from reality. They'll be so realistic, you will not be able to tell the difference between that game and the reality as we know it. Well, how do we know that that didn't happen in the past and that we're not in one of those games ourselves?
I say that what's being described in Genesis is not the creation of the world, but the creation of the simulation. And the bloodthirsty God of the Old Testament, I say, is this archontic force. And the Gnostics described how, in very similar terms, although from another angle, as the Bible talks about how the sons of God, actually the sons of the gods in the original text, interbred with the daughters of men and basically changed the human race. What the Gnostics do is talk about basically the same thing in the Nag Hammadi texts, but they talk about the infusion as a result of this of what they call the counterfeit spirit. The counterfeit spirit is, for me, an expression of this distortion. And the common theme through the ages of some force of good and some force of what people call evil battling for supremacy. When people talk about they have a dark side, I say that's this counterfeit spirit. And the Native Americans have this concept of two wolves inside people. One is goodness and empathy and compassion. One is evil, violence, hatred. And they say, which wolf wins? The one you feed the most. And of course, we have a society in this fake reality specifically designed to make us feed the counterfeit spirit, which is this archontic distortion, as I call it, influencing human behavior and human perception. And it's a frequency band. It has to be, because it's a manifestation of the archontic frequency band.
In his letters, Paul is describing the Gnostic theory of alien intrusion, archon intrusion into the human race, and warning us about these extraterrestrial beings that seek to take over our souls. The Zadokim are the ultra-righteous wing of the Essene movement. They believed in human perfection. In other words, that humans can become whole, holy, and complete, just like Adam and Eve. In the Gnostic belief in the Garden of Eden story, Adam and Eve did not have bodies of flesh and blood. They had light bodies. And as a punishment, the Old Testament God Yahweh created coats of skin for humanity, the flesh and blood bodies that we inhabit. The Gnostics were intent on reclaiming our original primordial light bodies. And this is what the Zadokim referred to as perfection, returning to our original perfection. And this is very difficult for some people. They look at this and think, well, who are you to become perfect? Nobody's perfect. But the Zadokim believed that humans could transform themselves into perfect light beings, actually returning to our original condition. Gnosticism was attacked and destroyed by Christian Orthodoxy because it claimed it possessed the secret teachings of Jesus, of the living Jesus, the risen or resurrected Jesus. Gnosticism also promotes the idea that any individual can have a direct, personal, and visionary experience with the risen Christ. If you can have that, what do you need a pope for? What do you need a priest for? What do you need a church hierarchy for? You don't. The church sells the past Jesus, the past actions. Gnosticism says, let's go into the future. Let's move forward. Today, we are experiencing a dramatic revival of Gnosticism worldwide. We're recovering knowledge of the Gnostic Gospels, where we recovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, and now the public literature is starting to open up to the real secret teachings of Jesus, which is absolutely phenomenal.
So the more that you re-evaluate self-identity from little me to infinite me, the more we expand awareness out of the frequency band of the archontic force of the counterfeit spirit, the less that impacts upon our behavior and our perceptions. And we start to come from the heart. What did the Gnostics say? The counterfeit spirit hardened the hearts of humanity. Exactly what it was designed to do. This is our connection to infinite awareness. They want us here, an ear. In the belly, emotion, low vibrational. They don't want us here. It's all systematic. And so, in the end, you can talk forever about the way it's all unfolded and how it's done. But how it's undone is that everything comes from it. This knows because it's connected to that level of awareness that does know. This society worships the intellect. The intellect is the village idiot compared with knowing, with wisdom that comes from here. And therefore, the whole education system, the media, all of it, all the sources of information are directed at the intellect, not the true self. And so we celebrate scientists because they have a great mind. But do they have a great consciousness beyond mind? And we can change that whenever we choose, because we're in control. The idea that some external force is in control is completely illusory. It is in theoretical control because it's persuaded us we have no power and no control over our lives and no control over events. And why we believe that, that will be our experience. But we can change it tomorrow, we can change it now. Just a choice. To pull this together, I'm saying that what we call the reptilians and also the greys, others too, I say that they are manifestations of this archontic force. And how interesting that the Nag Hammadi texts talk about two of the ways that this archontic force, as I call it, takes form, is through a reptilian form and through a form that is like a grey fetus. And therefore, what the reptilians are doing and what the greys are doing in manipulating human society, and what the human, what I call hybrid elite, reptilian-human hybrid elite that people call today's the 1%, I say that that elite and that reptilian grey grouping are manifestations in form of this archontic force. And ultimately, that force, which takes no form, that distortion, is ultimately the one that is manipulating human society. Almost every account I've ever come across, certainly ancient, certainly the Nag Hammadi texts, and certainly people I've come across on the inside in the world today, there's a very, very common theme between all of them, and that's that this force feeds off human low vibrational emotion, different expressions of fear. And I say that it was when this hijack happened that fear came into the world. I say this archontic force, this counterfeit spirit, is what we call fear. And because you can only feed off that which you can make a frequency connection to, if you are fear and you need to absorb energy within your frequency, what energy do you need to create? Fear, and as much of it as possible. Look at the world. I mean, what is the Second World War in terms of fear? And other things like anxiety and all that, violence, conflict. And so if you look at the world from that perspective, yes, we can break down why certain wars are happening and what the sequence is. But from the archontic force point of view, war in itself is an end. Yes, they'll have an ideal sequence because of the way they're manipulating human society, but war in its end is an end in itself. The more war conflict you have, both individual conflict and collective conflict, then the more of this energy you are creating.
In 2003, we discovered a degeneration in the brain that seemed to be programmed due to a molecule called PP1. We don't know why. We cannot explain why. But at a certain point, humans have this incredible ability to forget. This molecule affects the brain, and it is a degeneration of memory. I think that there is a programmed blockage, which was performed on the human brain. What is interesting about great myths, whether it is for Native Americans or for Africans, very much as well, is that they have the ability to constantly recite those myths, their history, so as not to forget. Some people, the Hebrews as well probably, have managed to have this ability to pass on information across generations.
Is it possible that humanity's mental capacities have been suppressed through the intervention of an off-world race? A programmed manipulation of our genetic code to keep us from reaching our hidden potential? Thank you for watching The Fifth Kind. We hope you enjoyed this thought-provoking program brought to you in association with Gaia.com. To see more documentaries, interviews, and original shows, follow your curiosity and visit our all-new featured episodes portal at gaia.com/portal/The Fifth Kind. If you like our work and you'd like to know whenever we publish our latest videos, it's really important that you click the bell icon and turn on channel notifications just next to the subscribe button. Also, please like and share this video and help make sure this type of content stays around and is available for others who may be seeking it.